It's lucky to be with you guys this morning and to preach the word to you. And it's always a great privilege for me to stand here in front, and a little bit scary. You can come and try it and see how scary it is. It's nogal scary. So, this morning I want to start off with a difficult question. And it seems always when I preach, I start with difficult questions. But I want us to think about things. I think we're on autopilot. We just do things. Want ons doen het maar. So, the question I want to ask you this morning is, what was your motivation to come to church today? I'm not asking why did you come to church, because we come to church to praise God and to worship Him. But what was your motivation to come to church this morning? When you opened your eyes this morning, what happened in your head so that you got up, put on your nice clothes, and come to this building? So I hear answers that it's what we do on a Sunday. That's why we come to church. Okay. I like the worship. The worship is good. That's why I come to this church. I like the guy preaching. That's why my wife came this morning. I like the coffee. So what was your motivation? And then there's some of you that might say, I come here because there's kids church. Obviously not this morning, but I come here because there's kids church and I have 10 minutes to myself. And we won't judge you if that is your motivation to come to church. These, which are all good reasons, especially the one of the guy that is preaching this morning, have one thing in common. And that is they all start with the word I. And this is a sad reality of church. It's become so commercialized that in the end it's all about me. My schedule, my needs, what I am in the mood for. That's our thinking behind church. And if things are not lekker, I will definitely tell someone. We hear things like, the worship leader is a bit off-key. I was nie. I'm just using it as an example. I don't think he must lead worship. He was a bit off-key. It's a bit false geweest vanmorgen. The guy preaching is bringing such a heavy word, I don't think you must ask him to preach again. Or the coffee wasn't lekker. So you'll tell somebody if something is wrong. Because it's all about me and my needs. And I don't think this is what God wants. I don't think this is what God wants for the church. So I want to read us something. Ephesians 5 verse 22 to 27. Wives, submit your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Is this the correct text? Is this a marriage ceremony? No, I haven't lost the plot. This is actually the verse that I want to read. For the husband is the head of the wife as the Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And he come, I know, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. We've heard this text many times. Elke troue waartoe ons gaan, gebruik hulle daai ene. We've read this verse many times. But have we ever connected this verse to me loving the church? Ephesians 5 verse 1 says that we must follow God's example. So if Christ loves the church, well then, my friend, it means that you and I should also love the church. So remember the question. What was your motivation to come to church this morning? Who answered, because I love the church? Not love going to church, but love the church. You see, this is how it needs to be. We need to love the church. So back to Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So we're going to reverse the order now. If God uses the church as an analogy to love my wife, then surely we can look at it in the reverse order to see how I should love the church. So I'm going to read you a piece of text. It's a well-known piece of text. Almal van julle het hom al gehoor. Die van julle moes al meer as net hom gehoor het. Do you, and you can put your name, Kosie, Gerkie of Pietie, take Josh Jane as your church? Do you promise to love, comfort, honor, and keep her for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health? Forsake all others, be faithful only to her for as long as you live. As ons dit een manier kan omdoen, kan ons dit die ander manier ook omdoen. Can you say this about Josh Jean this morning? So let's go down the list and investigate a bit. Do you love the church? And I'm sure we are all past the fact that the building isn't the church, but we as the people are the church of God. Can you really say that you love the people that are sitting in this building with you this morning? Because Matthew 22 verse 37 to 39 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is, love your neighbor. The guy sitting next to you, the guy sitting far from you off that you don't like this morning, you need to love that person as well. So, is this you? Do you love others? The next thing is, do you comfort the church? So, what is comfort for ons Afrikaanse mense? If you look in the dictionary, the word comfort, who am I kidding? If you Google comfort, the meaning of comfort, you will see that it means to ease a person's feeling of grief and distress. That is what comfort means. So Galatians 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. This is a command, my friend. So I have another question. Have you eased someone's feeling of grief in 2019? Ask yourself that. Then, the third thing, do you honor the church? So, once again, if you Google honor, it means to talk, or it means to speak highly of something or someone. Do you speak highly of Josh Jean like you would speak highly of your wife, even if she's not around? Do you honor the church? Do you always speak highly of Josh Jean? Then, for better or for worse, yeah? Better or for worse, will you still comfort, love, and honor the church, even if it's not going well at church? Even if times are tough, even if the church venue needs to change on short notice, or the pastor goes through a tough time and he's not lekker on his game, will you then still honor the church? Or will you just do it when times are good? So we've got a saying in Afrikaans, daardie mense is mooi weers vriende. Are you a mooi weers vriend? Fair weather, yeah. When the going gets tough, how do you feel about God's church? Do you stick around or do you run away? And so we can carry on in sickness and in health. for richer, for poorer? Do you love and honor and comfort the sick and the poor? Or would you rather not mingle with them? Aye, and then the last one. To forsake others, be faithful for as long as you live. Aye, it's a tough inner. Because have you ever heard the phrase, I think my season is over at the church? You let it all go where? Usually happens when you go through a tough time at church, and I think God says my season is over. You see, divorce has become such a common thing that we don't even think twice to divorce the church. So sad, because have you ever thought that there's people staying behind that's losing family and friends? That hurts. So, going through the list, I can hear you say, Thomas, it seems that I'm falling short on this. And please, guys, I'm not speaking about this to condemn you. We all fall short. I fall short, and I can guarantee you, even Stefan falls short on some of these things. Not all. I mean, he's pretty good, but some. And we will continue to fall short on this until we are with God in heaven. But we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to become a pure and spotless bride that God is coming back for. He's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. So if you know me, you know I'm Mr. Practical. Now, give some practical pointers on how we can love the church of God better. And the first thing we do is we join the church. That's the first thing we do, is we join. Now, joining a church doesn't mean we sign a piece of paper and then we sign our life away. It's not what joining is all about. Hebrews 13 verse 17 says the following. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. So as Joshin members, we have an extra layer of protection. We have an elder that will watch over our souls. Great responsibility for Stefan, because he needs to watch over our souls. But that is such a comforting thought for us. Somebody is watching over our souls. And that happens when we join the church. If we don't join the church, Stefan is not responsible for your soul. So that's the first practical thing that you can do to love the church of God better. The next thing is you make church a priority. This means Sunday service, priority. Wednesday community, priority. As far as possible, nothing else will take its place. So that one is not easy because we've got busy lives. But unfortunately, I is my what I is. It is what it is. Is it going to be the kids' sport or church? Is it going to be a picnic or church? Is it going to be sleeping in or church? Is it going to be rugby or church? Is it going to be work or church? See, we cannot only come to church once a month. We cannot only come to church when our community is on duty. All things in our lives must come after God. Hebrews 10 verse 24 to 25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here God encourages us not to give up on meeting together. The third point in loving God's church better is finding a way to serve. And for us that grew up in not this church, but the church next door, this is difficult. Because we went to church on a Sunday, and gaan ons maar weer huis toe. And next Sunday you go to church and you sit and you hear the preach and you go home. But we must find a way to serve. If God has put you in this family, it means you've got a purpose in this family. That is why you are here. I'm going to say it again. You have a purpose in this family. You might say, but how can I be used? Romans 12 gives us the answer. Romans 12 is 4 to 6. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And then he goes on sharing the gifts. I want to tell you this morning, an eye cannot hear, and an ear cannot see. So if you are the eye and you're not doing what you're doing, it means the ear now needs to see. How's that going to work? It's not going to work. If you are the ear and you're not doing what you're doing, what you need to do in this family, it means the eye now needs to hear. How is the eye going to hear? It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. So each one of us sitting here this morning has got a gift. Not some of us. Dis nie wat die woord sê nie. All of us has got a gift. Ons het dit. So you must tell yourself, I have something to give to this body. You are not perfect. I am not perfect. Stefan is almost perfect, but he's also not perfect. God does not use perfect people. He doesn't use perfect people. So don't wait until you're perfect. Because then you're going to be, find yourself in heaven and say, oh, okay, now I'm perfect. But you might not know what your gift is. You might not know where do I belong in this church. Then I want to encourage you this morning. Speak to your community leader. Speak to your deacon so that they can help you find out what your gifting is. And after you've found out what it is, then start using it. Because we need you. We need you. Then the fourth thing on how we can practically love the church is not a lacquer one. I'm going to say it in any case. You give. So there are many worthwhile ministries worldwide that you can give to and send your money to. But God calls us to give to our local church. Malachi 3:10. We all know that one says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. This includes money, time, talents. Remember, the leaders of this church must give account to God on what they are doing with the money. So never tell yourself or ask yourself, what is the church going to do with my hard-earned money? Once again, it's not about you. They need to give account to God and not me. So we can therefore give in peace. The fifth thing, and I'm almost finished, almost landing. Betty is 10 minutes away. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. The fifth thing is become an active participant in church by connecting with people. Now, if you come to church 10 minutes after the service has started and you leave 5 minutes before it ends, then it's not possible for you to connect with people, and therefore you are not doing what God wants you to do. The word says in John 13, verse 34, love one another. In Romans 12, verse 5, it says, be devoted to one another. In Galatians 5 verse 14 it says, serve one another. In Galatians 6 verse 2 it says, carry one another's burdens. In James 5 verse 16 it says, pray for one another. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 it says, encourage one another. Can you hear the common words spoken in all these verses? One another. God wants us to do life together. God wants us to be involved in each other's life. God does not want us to just come to a building on a Sunday. We need each other. Then the last and most important point is stay close to God. Sit at His feet, be close to His heart, hear His heartbeat, and by doing that, you will love the church because God loved the church. A while back, Andrew shared a picture on Facebook, and I feel that it is appropriate to what we've said today. The purpose of my life, I was planned for God's pleasure. I was formed for God's family. I was created to become like Christ. I am shaped for serving God. I was made for a mission. So, that is my purpose. I was formed for the family of God. I wasn't formed to be me, myself, and I alone in this world, coming to a building on a Sunday. We need each other. Joshua Harris wrote a book on this topic called Stop Dating the Church. And he says you can identify a person that is dating the church by three characteristics. One, the church dater is me-centered. So they go to church and they see what they can get. Good worship, a good preach, good coffee, or even good times with friends. The church dater is independent. They avoid getting involved, especially getting involved with people. They go through the motion of church, because that is what we do on a Sunday. And the third thing is the church dater is critical. They find fault with everything, like the worship leader is off key, the preach is too long, the people are not friendly enough. So I want to end the message this morning by asking you, visitor, are you dating the church? Josh Jen member, are you dating the church? And lastly, Joshine leader, are you dating the church? You see, are you really in love with the bride of Christ? Or are you just dating the church?